This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, today we're going to start out the show talking about a little health and physical fitness with our friend Steve Morgan. So let's bring in Steve. Steve, how you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, Earl. The weather's good again. Boy, we've been so fortunate this early summer.
Yes, we have. It got started a little earlier this year, and it's been going great. I know we've talked about the last time we talked about how to proceed a workout when the weather warms up. We probably should go over that one more time just to review for folks that there are certain things you should do to make your body at least, you know, be semi a little cooler so you work out in hot weather.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, the beverages are important, the selection of beverages, the volumes of which, you know, you don't want to just sip your water all day. That's not enough water. Even if you're just in a sedentary job, you need at least a quart. You know, every 4 or 5 hours, just to stay well hydrated. It helps to cut down on headaches and the lack of perspiration when sweating, which makes you overheat. I mean, water is the essence of life. So I would strongly urge you to I average around a gallon a day, and that's a little light for my size. I really should be right around closer to a gallon and a half on the ounces. That's about 190 to 192 ounces. So, you know, right around in there. And then replacing the electrolytes, we've talked about several times. You know, you're dealing with magnesium, calcium, sodium, and potassium. You need to make sure that not just from a sports drink, you want to try to get those from whole foods as well, such as oranges, bananas, grapes. You know, it's really not that hard if you just look around. You got the, during this time of year, you have the city market down there at their new location, which is not too far from the old one. And that's right on the river. Makes for a nice destination point. If you're riding your bike from the east, you can ride the river trail right down to the city market, have lunch, ride back home. Make a day out of it, and you can have a light lunch, of course. They serve salads and whatnot. So, I mean, there's many things to do, and the beverages and looking for fruits and vegetables is just a good way to continue on with a healthy lifestyle.
Steve, one area we haven't talked about a lot, but that, and you mentioned that as we were talking, as I was listening, you know, we really haven't focused in much on the other things you should eat, you know, the rehydration and, you know, getting some of the healthiest things for, you know, eating salads and things like that. But, you know, when it's real hot like this, or when it's real hot like in the high 80s and 90s, is that basically the same thing, or should you do something a little different?
No. You're not taking any salt tablets or anything of this nature. I mean, basically, I mean, a good healthful diet is going to supply you with most of what you're going to need. And like I said before, if you're going to be out and you're going to ramp up a little bit, and you're going to start to perspire more and you know profusely, and you're out there for excessive amounts of time, and then you need to take some precautionary measures. You need to make sure that you're drinking beverages prior to, during, and after. And once again, beer, wine, liquor, alcohol, it doesn't count. That's actually something that's going to further the dehydration process, and particularly with the heat. So once again, common sense, and we've been talking about these points of interest, if you will, for years now. And heat stroke is something that can come up very quickly when you're out and about splashing around in the water. You don't really know how hot you are when you're in the water because of the water itself. You know, it seems to be cooling you down, but you do sweat when you're in the water. and particularly in the lakes and in the rivers, chlorinated pools, brominated pools, you will sweat. So once again, continue to drink your beverages, limit your exposure to the heat. If you begin at any point in time, if you get dizzy, lightheaded, you need to seek some shade and then begin to have your fluids. And if it doesn't go away, then head on into the hospital to get looked at.
Hey, Steve, now, what should folks do like golfers who are out in the hot sun trying to play 9 or 18 holes? Most of them, you know, probably play 9 holes today. Should they take some extra precautions, just make sure that they're well hydrated and everything? What should their philosophy and how should they do things?
Absolutely, Earl. I mean, tennis, golf, if you're going to be out in the heat and you're going to be participating in exercise, which we really do encourage you to do because the heat is really, if you know what to do, the heat is not bad. I train in the heat. I train in the desert. I've said on the show a number of times when I lived in Dubai. We train in the desert regularly, 120, 125 degrees out, and we go at noon. I mean, it just didn't. Once you acclimatize and you get used to that type of weather and your body has an opportunity to adjust to it and you supply it with what it needs, it's the body's an amazing machine. But for golfers, I mean, you want to pack your bag. The majority of guys are putting bags in the back of a motorized cart anyway, so packing a little extra water in there and some peanut butter crackers or, a banana, some grapes, an apple, peach, pear, plum, something of this nature. You just pack that in your bag. You're not carrying it, so it's not an extra load. I, on the other hand, carry my bag, and I still put an extra gallon of water in there, and I like loading it up. I mean, it's really nothing to go for a walk on 18 holes on a golf course. And I know people make a big deal of it, but it's really, I've said it before, it's the least you should be able to do. Okay, I mean, let's set some minimum standards, shall we?
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, well, I got a question that came in here. It says, if people run, bike on trails, which are wooded around town, what kind of safety tips do you have for them?
One more time with that, Earl.
It says, if people run, bike on trails, which are wooded around town, what kind of safety tips do you have for them?
Safe tips, is that what they're saying?
Yeah, what kind of safety tips?
Yeah, the hydro bladders that you can pick up at the sports stores now. If you don't want to carry your water with a waste pouch, then a hydro bladder, which comes in the form of a backpack, is a wonderful training tool that you can have your water just by sucking on a tube so you never have to stop running. Also, along the river trail, I hope that's what they're referring to, but also along the river trail, which I highly recommend people use if you're running and or cycling, blading, whatever you might be doing, it cuts down on your potential risk of injury from cars and potholes and all of those things and the hazards that go along with the roadside running, riding, jogging, or what have you. The river trail is virtually flat. Pretty much, there's some dipsy doodles here and there, but you don't have to worry about getting hit by a car on the river trail. So you do have to be courteous and watch, both directions and be, pay attention and look for kids darting out and, an occasional, squirrel here and there. But all in all, there are no cars or trucks on the river trail, and it's a good 12, 13 miles. So it's a good clip. Okay. But just carrying your water. There are some drinking fountains along the way. Carry a little snack, a couple of Skittles, or an Allen Later, or something, a simple piece of Jolly Rancher. So if you get a little lightheaded, or you need to take the taste out of your mouth, you have just a hair, crack it in two, so you only have half a piece of candy, just a little bit. I find that with most athletes that we train in the heat, they like to have that, and then they drink their water with it. But now they have flavored water, so it's the same thing. So it's just, however you want it. Those are the safe tips to go right there, Earl.
Okay. Hey, Steve, I know you've been involved with boxing and boxers for some time. As you know, I've been involved with boxing as well. But you know, a lot of people now are starting to do those boxing routines, you know, for exercise, you know, those kind of, you know, those fast steps and kickboxing and hitting and everything. How do those work out? I assume they're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, once again, once you first get off the couch, there are some entry-level points to anything. And just make sure you start slow. You maintain your flexibility or add to your flexibility. And don't try to, you know, go for an hour. The tapes are very exhausting, as you know, Earl. I mean, just to do shadow boxing for a couple of minute rounds can make you sweat.
Yeah.
If you know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, then you need to be careful and make sure that you get some ample instruction on proper punching, because you can easily hyperextend your elbow. But if you don't know how to jab and do all the necessary, you know, the bent arm throws and things of this nature. So technique, once again, is going to be paramount in trying to get a good workout. I see people throwing punches and kicking kind of funny. And inevitably what happens is they begin to get overuse injuries. They start to get tendonitis and so on, and inflamed bursitis. And then from that point, they just seem to stop and fade away from the exercise. And you've seen it, Earl. They just stop doing it. And you ask them, hey, how about that Tybo tape you were so high and mighty on 6 weeks ago? Oh, that thing hurt my shoulder. It's boring. You know, and so they don't do it anymore. Now it defeats, you know, now the lack of technique made them stop training and something that was eventually going to be good for them if they could have lasted long enough. So technique, I would still look at going to the clubs. If you want to do P90X, if you want to do Insanity, or if you want to go Tybo, or if you want to do Sugar Ray Leonard's boxing video, I still would take the time to take one lesson from someone in person. The virtual world and videos and whatnot, those are fun, but, I mean, you can learn a little bit, but it's more like what you're learning when you watch a boxing fight, you know. You're just watching it. You're not having someone take you through it and make sure that you do things correctly with your striking positions and your hands. And as you know, Earl, you could hurt your wrist dramatically in boxing.
Yes, you could. That's for sure. But that's one of the things that people should be aware of if they're getting into the exercise videos and doing those. Start out slow and build yourself up. We say that all the time. The other thing I know that worries me a lot, Steve, is the weekend warriors. I mean, we've talked about that time and time again. So many people, once it starts getting warm, they haven't done anything over the winter, you know, anything at all, and then they get out and try to do some things on the weekend, and then consequently wind up in the hospital, the emergency room, as you know.
Yeah. The acute, like we said before, first of all, it's probably going to start with overexposure to the heat, because you get excited and you're just out and you lose track of time. It's obviously not something that you're intending to do, but you lose track of time. And when you don't replace those fluids and you don't get enough carbohydrate in you to provide immediate energy for muscles and the brain and so on and so forth, then you begin to break down. First of all, you get a little lightheaded. People say that all the time. And then next thing you know, they start to see these little flickers in front of them. Or they get just blood sugar drops, and then they pass out. So, I mean, there are a number of hazards, you know, if you're overexposed, whether you're a weekend warrior or you're an avid exerciser. But weekend warriors, you're right, Earl, or have a heavier load to pay because they're not in shape and they can't get away with making mistakes in terms of treating themselves and their exposure time. And that's something I would really watch, is my exposure time. And, you know, you get out in the boat and you get swimming and then you get back in the boat, well, you're still in the sun. Mm-hmm. You're just out of the water. And people forget. And so they'll stay out on the boat, and then they'll say, oh, I was only swimming for a couple hours. I can't believe I'm this tired. No, the sun continued to beat you down, and you were drinking alcohol, and you weren't eating properly, and yada, yada, yada. And next thing you know, Jed's a millionaire, and you're not looking so good.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Those things do happen, as we know. Those are things you should be aware of, folks. Be aware of these kind of things that we're telling you, and Steve's telling you that, you know, you just have to, as we said at the beginning, use common sense for a lot of things we're talking about. Nothing out of the ordinary, anything. If you apply good common sense, you should be okay, I would think, Steve.
Yeah, and you know, Earl, attire, you know, people don't speak enough about proper attire in the summer. Everyone thinks that it's a short sleeve day, and there's some days if you're going to be out in the water and whatnot, that to wear a long sleeve shirt is not a bad idea for some of the fair skinned, you know, individuals that are out there listening. You can do that. Just wear a thin long sleeve shirt, and that'll help you with reducing the amount of rays that you're receiving, and it'll keep you cooler when you get out of the water as well because of the wind to blow on it.
Well, Steve, I've got a topic for you that we're going to cover a little bit the next time we have you on, because we haven't talked about lifting weights in a long, long time.
Wow. strength training is always it's a daily exercise for me over here at MAP. Mm-hmm. But so I lose track of the fact that we haven't spoken about it.
Yeah. So we'll do that the next time we have you on, buddy. We'll talk a little bit about the strength training because, as we know, it's an integral part of working out, of getting in shape, and something you should add. Hopefully, you do it pretty regularly, but, you know, a lot of people don't. But we'll give them a little advice on weight training and getting started or continuing if they are. I mean, I know I'm just trying to build myself back up. I've gotten a little weak over the last couple of years, last year or so, because I haven't been doing as much as I used to do. So we can give people some advice to what to continue doing and how to get back on track to what they used to do.
Yeah, and I hope those that began at the resolution nights, I hope that they're still, you know, chugging along here in month number 6. Mm-hmm. We're halfway around the calendar here. So mm-hmm. if you're listening, those of you who set those goals, it would be a good time for you to think about resetting some short-term goals to get you to about month number 9, so another 12 weeks, and just keep nipping at it. I'm on my 23rd week of a 24-week program, so I'm coming up on time for my workouts to change as well. So, you know, they have been changing every 6 to 8 weeks, but now we're almost done at 24 weeks. I missed one day, Earl, in 24 weeks.
That's pretty good, Steve.
One day. You know, well, you got to practice what you preach, Earl.
Yeah, you do.
You know, there's too many trainers out here that don't. So, mm-hmm. you know, I pride myself. And plus, I still love it, and I still have a lot of passion for training. So,
okay.
It makes it easy.
Okie dokie. Hey,
okay,
Steve, it's good talking with you, buddy. We'll call you up
take
again.
Take care now.
Okay. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Steve Morgan talking health and physical fitness right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
The president's private sector stumble, the GOP money machine, outraises the Democrats. Arizona voters fill Congresswoman Gabby Gifford's seat for primaries and dueling lawsuits over Florida's purge of the voter rolls. I'm Neil Conan. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It's good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl. Here's the weather forecast. A high in the low 70s and sunny today. Partly cloudy tonight, our low in the upper 40s. Thursday, the high will be 78. It'll be mostly sunny tomorrow, staying mostly sunny Friday with a high of 84.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, in the state baseball playoffs are still going on. Only one team is left from the Mid-Michigan area, and that's Lansing Catholic Central, as they enter the regional phase of their tournament coming up this weekend. So Lansing Catholic Central still has a chance to win a state championship. And now, yesterday, last night, a lot of us were watching the NBA. Some of us were watching the Tigers. If you were watching the Tigers, well, you had your heart broken last night as they lost 4-3 to the lowly Chicago Cubs. And you know, in the bottom of the ninth inning, the Tigers came back trailing 3-0 and tied it up, and then the Cubs scored a run in the ninth inning to get the win. So, you know, the Tigers still have their problems. We've been talking about them all year long, and you know, I'm like not like a lot of you. I know a lot of you think that Jim Leland's the problem and he should go, and maybe he should. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. I don't think they're going to fire him soon. I think they might release him, or he might retire after the season is over. But I can't see him firing him. But who knows? But that's one thing that people are really discussing the Tigers, because they haven't been able to put a winning streak together. They started out 9-3 at the beginning of the season, and since then they've been below 500. Now, last night we saw the first. This is really going to be a good series between Oklahoma City and Miami, and I can tell you, I was very impressed with both teams, the defense they played, especially Miami. They started out playing some real good defense. Oklahoma City got their defense really going in the second half. I mean, they shut down, LeBron and D Wade. They both got shut down. So this is going to be a great series. It is, and hopefully you'll be following it to the end. I know it's a little late staying up for everyone, myself included. The game starts at 9, and then, you know, they have so many breaks during the game. It really makes the game really, really long. So, you know, we'll try to stick with it. I mean, you'll have another game tomorrow night on ABC, the whole seven-game series. And that's just going to be a great, great series, because you've got the two best teams. You've got the MVP of the league for the last 3 years. You've got the leading scorer in the league for the last 2 years. So you have the two best players with a good young surrounding cast, and we'll see whoever wins. Some people think it's already that Miami's going to win this thing. I said no. I keep telling them that home court advantage belongs to Oklahoma. So we'll just have to see. Can Miami win one in Oklahoma? And they might could, because they're doing format of the series is a lot like baseball. It's first two at home at the team with the most wins, and then they have the three in-between games will be on the road, and then the final two home games. So you could see Miami winning one of those three intermediate games or winning one, you know, of their road games in Oklahoma City. But it's going to be a good series. I mean, 94-105 in the first game, and they played some great defense, some very tough, stifling defense, that's for sure. And I don't know, for some of you, I know you've probably been following that Jerry Sandusky trial. It's been pretty gruesome just hearing about that and what's going on and how Sandusky allegedly that's what we have to say, allegedly, handling those young men. And I don't see if he can beat the rap. Some people, you know, they're so slick and they've got great slick lawyers. They can beat the rap. But in this situation, 10 of his victims are going to be testifying against him. So I just don't see how Jerry Sandusky's going to be able to weasel his way out of this one. I mean, he'll be working at it, of course, but it just doesn't look good for him, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, Floyd Mayweather is in serving his 87-day sentence that was given to him in Las Vegas, and he is now trying to get out of serving that whole sentence. His lawyers made a petition to the judge about shortening his sentence or getting him out and maybe letting him serve it at home, because he's in a 7x12 cell. He doesn't exercise much on a daily basis, and they say his health has been deteriorating. So it's going to be interesting to see what will the judge honor that. Some people think, and maybe it's the judge, maybe not, I don't know, that Floyd's just doing whatever he can to get out and not serve the whole sentence, which is a possibility. I mean, you have to consider that as well. So those are just a few of the things going on. Well, the time is 1:30. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Now, Aaron, I've just listed a few of the topics today. Baseball, the Tigers, we haven't mentioned the College World Series, which begins this weekend. I know you're going to be pulling for the underdog, the Longbrook Stony Brook. They're the underdog, the one small team in the Final Four of the College World Series.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Why not pull for the underdog in the College World Series? I mean, you know, you don't want to see the same teams there every year. So, yeah, why not? Is that who you're pulling for?
Of course.
Well, there we go. I think we settled on that.
It should be a good one. I mean, Stony Brook's from the north and from in the up northeast and a very small college. And, they had seven players drafted in this past draft were drafted by major league teams. So obviously that's a pretty good baseball team.
Yeah. If you have seven players that are drafted from one team, I think that says something about your program. So, they're probably only going to get better now that they've kind of got some recognition, you know, there. So that probably is going to help them in the recruiting area. So maybe we'll start to see this team get, each year they'll be there at the top, maybe.
Or we may see, of course, a new coach coaching there next year because someone might pick him off. He's done such a good job there. One of the big boys is probably going to get him. I mean, just like Kent State's coach, and they're in the Final Eight, he may get the Michigan job, so he may going over there. So, you know, everything happens. If you take a smaller school to something like this, to a big event, and they haven't been there before, it's a good chance that the big boys will come calling.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's usually what happens is, you know, these coaches usually don't, you know, they don't get the media coverage that these bigger schools do. But once they start winning and then they start playing with the big boys, I guess, they get recognition and then suddenly someone's like, well, hey, we're in need of a new coach. Or, hey, just so happens this position's opened up and we noticed that you're quite good at it. So why don't you come on over? We'll talk and we'll make a deal.
Yep, and that happens far more than it has in the past. And we've got the big race at MIS this weekend, and we'll be here. We'll have our friend Terry Fitzwater will be on Friday to talk auto racing with us. MIS will have a big race, but they're cutting down the number of seats that are available. Usually, that race used to draw like 120,000, 130,000. But it's going to be cut down. We'll have to see, and we'll talk with Terry on Friday on how the race is going to be since they're cutting out so many seats in that. So it's going to be a tough draw a little bit. So we'll talk with him about that, and auto racing when it comes to Michigan and the smaller tracks are doing pretty well this year. So we'll talk with him about the auto tracks and especially about how weather affects this. Because as long as the weather's good, it should be a good day for racing. A lot of people will get out and take part.
Yeah, I mean, have you been there before?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I've been there before. I mean, it's been quite a few years, but I've been there, and I remember it enough. And I mean, it was packed when I was there, but that was a handful of years ago before, you know, NASCAR has seen some changes since then, obviously. But, yeah, it's unfortunate that they got, you know, have to get rid of the seating, you know, certain seats. And I'd be curious to see what kind of ticket sales they have, you know, or will have, you know, to really, I mean, we've seen it throughout the year so far this year as far as NASCAR is concerned. At some of the courses, I mean, you just watch it on TV and you'll see a bunch of empty seats. You know, there might be reasons for that. Maybe they did so, but, you know, I know they're not as selling as much as they hope to. But, yeah, you're right also about the local tracks. I know Terry's talked about in the past that, you know, they've been doing quite well, but, but also depends on the weather too. So, it should be a good race this weekend.
Yeah, it should be. That's for sure. Hey, give us a call right here on AM 870 WKAR. Spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR East Lansing, 355-9527 or toll free. 877-9527-870. Let's go out to Holt and chat with John. John, how you doing?
Hey, Earl, it's a great day when our LeBron James team loses in the first game, man. I can't stand that guy. I swear to God, man, he's my least favorite player in the NBA.
Well, he has a lot of company. I mean, you have a lot of company as well.
The reason why, Earl, is the witness, you know, all this stuff with witness and, you know, Everyone thinks he's the second coming of Michael Jordan. And I'll tell you what, LeBron cannot hold a candle to Michael Jordan when it comes to clutch time, man. He choked in the fourth quarter last night, for example.
Yeah, well, see, I wouldn't know if he choked. I mean, he definitely had a bad game. I mean, a bad fourth quarter last game. But, boy, he saw Felicia, I think it was, checked him. He had a couple of guys that checked him really hard.
Felicia's sweet. That guy's incredible,
yes,
man.
Yes, he is.
Hey, I'll tell you what. In my opinion, Kevin Durant is a better all-around player than LeBron James. He's got a more complete game, I think.
Yeah, and he's getting stronger.
Kevin Durant is incredible.
Yeah, he used to have that much strength, but he's getting stronger. He's able to handle that bumping and pushing that more than he could when he first got
in. I'll tell you what, he's got 5 years on. He's got 5 years. He's 5 years younger than LeBron. Is that correct? I think he's 23 and LeBron's 28.
Yep.
I would much rather have him in the key moment than LeBron. I wouldn't have said that 5 years ago, but now I would much rather have Durant in the key situation than LeBron. And you know what? Another thing about LeBron that I don't like is how he did that whole thing at the Boys and Girls Club.
Right.
I mean, come on. Why do you use that as a scene to announce where you're going to play the NBA? I thought that was real Bush League, man.
Yeah, and I think he realized that afterwards. I mean, at the time he didn't. He didn't know how it was going to react. But after it went in the way it went down, the way people reacted to it, I think he realized he made a mistake.
You know, I don't take anything away from the talent. No question, the guy's a very, very talented basketball player. I mean, I cannot take that away from him at all, and I don't take that away from him. It's just the guy's personality and how he's just an egomaniac, narcissistic guy, man. I mean, that's what really bothers me about LeBron. I mean, as far as basketball talent, I mean, gosh, the guy's incredible. He does some incredible things on the court, no question.
Yes, he does.
You know what I mean? No question about it. Hey, did Oklahoma name their coach yet? I heard it's down to two people, possibly Tony Sweet.
Oh.
And who is the other one that they were saying?
This is for who?
I heard on the Tim Stott Show, Tony Sweet from Grand Lodge is in the running for Oklahoma's head coach.
Oh, no, I didn't hear who got the job yet.
I didn't hear yet. Did they announce?
No, not that I know of.
Tim was saying on his show it's going to be Tony Sweet from Grand Lodge, and there was one other person. I'm trying to think of who that was.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Sweet was the main candidate that I heard.
Yeah, unless it was someone that's in their system. You know, I know they like to get coaches in their system.
No,
so,
it wasn't. I was thinking it was going to be Carter Briggs, possibly, but his name wasn't even mentioned in the two. Hmm. Tony Sweet from Grand Legend. I'm trying to think of the other guy. I can't think of who else. Yeah, Tony is the number one candidate that was mentioned on Tim's show today.
Okay, well, we have to watch that.
Tony gets it. Tony deserves it. He got a raw deal.
He did. He really
did.
I thought so as well. So, yeah, that would be nice.
He had an outstanding record at Grand Ledge. I can't believe they let him go.
Yep. Yeah.
What do you think of him? Do you know him personally, Earl?
Yeah, I know Tony. Yeah, I've known Tony over the years. Tony's a very nice man.
Great competitor,
yes,
man.
I tell
you what, he did great when he was at Grand Ledge. He's very competitive in the CAAC.
Yes, he has been.
So, what was his record at Brighton? He only lost maybe three games last year?
He didn't lose many, even for the two or three years that he was there. He kept a very good record up, and he helped get the team back to a competitive level, to vie for a state championship.
Now, are they in the Kensington Valley Conference? Is that the conference?
I believe it is.
And they play teams like Howell and teams like that? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a competitive conference, isn't it, for basketball?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay. All right. Thanks for taking my call. You have a great day, Earl.
Okay, you too, John. Thank you. Bye-bye. The time, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Mia Shikowitz was 15 when a blood vessel ruptured in her spine and left her paralyzed from the waist down. At 33, she's now one of four women featured on a new reality show that hopes to defy stereotypes of women in wheelchairs.
I think most people haven't seen Sexy in a Wheelchair, and that's why they can't fathom it.
I'm Neil Conan. Push Girls, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The weather forecast is calling for a series of mostly sunny days. Today's high, 73 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 40s. Mostly sunny with a high of 78 Thursday, and mostly sunny again Friday. The high will be 84 degrees. This is Scott Pohl.
and give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So just give us a call, send us an email, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, because we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So we want you to come in and be a participant with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, but spread the word around. Tell everyone you know, your friends, your enemies, anyone that you can be enjoying sports, that is right here on AM 870 WKAR. And I'll tell you, the U.S. Open starts tomorrow, so that's we're going to get into the golf world. Does Tiger have a chance in winning? So what do you think, Aaron? Do you think are you giving Tiger much of a chance to win this one?
Oh, absolutely. You got to give him a chance. I think he's figured out his swing. He had those few problems with it, you know. But, I mean, realistically, he's been doing quite well this year. I mean, if you look at the wins he's had, you know. And he obviously, you know, at the last tournament he won there, I mean, he looked fantastic. And some of those shots, obviously, were amazing, to say the least. So, no, I think you give him a great chance. And he's playing with Mickelson and Bubba Watson. So I think that's a great, you know, three pairs there. So, I mean, you know, I definitely give him a chance.
Well, they're saying you know, this course is built for him because he drives the ball long and straight. He's one of the better drivers on the tour, so that plays into his hands. So if he drives it well, as he has been driving in the last tournament and such, if he continues to drive it well, he should have a good chance. I mean, his putting has been so-so at times.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you on that one. And I guess there's a hole, the 16th hole. I don't know if you know this. 670 yards, a par five. So it does have a little. I'm looking at a picture of it. It does curve quite a bit, but nonetheless, you're right about that. You know, that's definitely in Tiger's favor, because he can definitely has a lot of power there too. But you're right about his putting has been so-so, but he's I think that was something he did pretty well his last tournament that he won at. I think he's kind of honed in on that as well. I mean, I think he looks focused. I think that's the main key, is he's focused. You know, life distractions aren't distractions anymore. I think he's figured out how to deal with those outside of, you know, the course. When he's on the course, it looks like he's on top of his game. He's focused. You know, the fans aren't distracting him anymore. He doesn't, you know, if he has a bad shot, he had a couple bad shots his last tournament that he won, but he kept himself in check. I mean, he didn't lose it. He didn't throw his club around, you know. Yeah. He didn't get angry at fans for maybe something minor that he may have, you know, the last couple of years. So I think he's figured out how to keep himself in check, even when he's not playing his best. And when he does that, he gets right back on track, and he can come back and have a couple great birdies in a row or something like that. So, yeah, so I definitely give him a chance, and I think he's on top of his game right now.
But, you know, there are a lot of young guns out there. As you know, they're all, you know, shooting at him, and that's the thing that I always say. Hey, there are so many people out there, 150 out on the course every week in the pros. You got 150 of the best players, and Tiger's one of the 150 best. He's not, I don't think he's as dominant as he used to be, but he's still certainly one of the top 150. And do you just giving him a chance because he's been good for so long?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, but I mean, this year he's done pretty well. I mean, he's been, you know, for the most part, you know, obviously he's had his downs this year as well, but I think he's been more consistent than a lot of the players on the tour. So, yeah, I mean, plus, you know, he had his problems, but, you know, he's getting back to where he wants to be, but he had to make a lot of changes to get back there. You know, obviously we knew with his swing and his knee, he had to fix those things. But then obviously with all the personal issues he had, and then firing his caddy, I mean, those are all things that he's had to completely change and figure out how to be better. And I think it's obviously just taking some time. So, I mean, yeah, I do give him a chance because I think he's figured out how to deal with those changes. He's become much more comfortable with them. So he's been able to play the golf that he's wanted to play and that he's capable of playing. But yeah, I wouldn't say that he's like the best right now, but I think he still can improve, which will get him to the top where he wants to be. I mean, we know he's a competitor. He wants to get there, and he's going to do whatever it takes to get there. I mean, sure, in other sports he may seem old, but in golf we all are well aware that you can play well into, you know, age doesn't matter as much, and he's obviously a very physical and physically fit athlete. So I don't think the age is as a huge factor as much as it is in other sports.
Well, let's talk about a sport where age is a big factor, and that's in football. We see Peyton Manning now is strengthening his arm strength. He's trying to get ready for his first NFL season in Denver. You see the Indianapolis Colts been performing out without with Luck coming out, and they're looking at Luck to take over as their main guy. So when you look at these young guns in football, and then you have an old standby, Ocho Cinco, who just signed with Miami, and they're going to give him a shot. He'll get a shot to make, you know, the Dolphins. So what do you make of all these young gun quarterbacks out there, and then the old guys trying to hang on for one more year or two?
Yeah, you know, they got to pay the bills. They got to pay that huge mortgage on that house that they've bought. I guess I'll start with Ocho Cinco, you know. You know, it's not that he, you know, I guess from the Pats' point of view, I guess he worked really hard in practice. He did what he was supposed to, but, you know, he just wasn't a fit there. You know, I guess there wasn't any bad blood too much. I think there was a few rumblings here and there that he had issues with, but for the most part, I think he worked his butt off, but I don't think he fit that system. And, you know, so Miami, I guess we'll have to wait and see if he's a fit there. I haven't, you know, read up on too much about it yet, but, you know, it's not that he's getting older, but, you know, we've seen in the past that older players, they'll have a year or two where they do very well because they commit to getting in shape. They do the right things that they know that are their weaknesses. They know what they're good at, so they don't need to work on those, but they work on their weaknesses that come with the age. So, you know, I assuming that he puts in the time and the right effort, he may be able to have a good fit there in Miami. I mean, they don't have the best of players there, so he might be able to, you know, shine in that program, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, Andrew Luck there in Indianapolis, you know, he's doing his thing, so, you know, it's a little early to kind of, you know, jump on things yet, but, you know, I expect great things from him, and obviously we've seen it with the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford. I mean, if you're in the right program with the right talent around you, you know, you can be a great player. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. And then you got Manning in Denver there. So I guess we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. I think for Manning, it's just a matter of getting back in shape, getting back into routines. It's not like we know he's a great quarterback, one of the all-time greats. So, I mean, I don't think we have to worry, oh, is he going to be a good quarterback? Well, that's already been proven. So it's just a matter of getting comfortable with the system and those kind of things, which he's a veteran. So I don't think it's going to be very difficult for him to pick up on things. It's not like he's not NFL smart. He's definitely NFL smart. So, you know, I guess we'll kind of have to wait and see. It's exciting for sure to kind of talk about this before the season even begins.
Yes, because football is right around the corner. I mean, everybody will be going to training camp. Some are starting their OTAs right now, you know, the off-season training team activities. So some are doing those now. And you can, I'm just reading here about Urban Meyer, who was just at a football camp today in Michigan outside of Detroit. And so that had to be pretty good for kids around there to get to hear him speak and listen to him as he attended all over the country. It's to attend the Sound Mind, Sound Body Academy at Southern Michigan. Coach Brady Hogue as well, Eastern coach Ron English, Alabama, Birmingham, and Michigan State defensive coordinator Pat Narduzzi also were there as Meyer held his future and held his camp in one of the camps in Michigan and helped out there. So that's what coaches do now before they get into their games and start getting ready for the season. They start training kids and working with kids and trying to help them. And maybe, you never know, they might get one, you know, you might get one fall out of the, that you didn't anticipate at a camp like that.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, I never played football, but I'm sure for those kids, you know, it's, wow, Urban Meyer, you know, yeah, these other coaches that are there as well. I mean, that's that's, you know, that can put a lot of pressure on someone, or it could be the opposite, you know? They could make someone shine through that. It's kind of weird to think about it, and I'm sure, you know, you've been in the business a lot longer than I have, but, you know, I'm sure those kind of things didn't happen as much as they used to, especially now with the media coverage that it is. I mean, you know, players nowadays, we've talked about this before. I mean, so many students that are, you know, want to go to college or get degrees, that kind of thing, they definitely can get it through all the media coverage and coaches and all these camps. Well, we got a phone caller coming in.
Okay. Yes, and that's the thing. A lot of callers, people get signed out of these camps, or at least get tryouts, or give a verbal commitment to a school out of a camp like this if they make a good impression. And that's one of the things that happens at these camps right now. So let's go over to Lake Orion and talk with Todd. Todd, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Earl.
Afternoon, buddy.
What a beautiful, beautiful day. We've had a nice little run here.
Yes, we have, and it'll continue.
This is the nice kind of weather that makes up for some of the junk that we get the other days, but I don't suppose that is where you probably complain about the weather.
No, we won't complain.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, we ain't going to complain about the weather.
We can't do much about it. I think that's one thing we'd all agree.
Yeah.
I like the discussion on Peyton Manning. I'm a big fan of Peyton Manning. Regard him as a tremendous player. I'll give him credit. In my mind, he's the second greatest quarterback to play for the Colts, and I put number 19, Johnny Unitas, in front of him. But I guess if that's the only guy that was better than you at your franchise or maybe all time, that's high heart regard. I mean, I think whether you're a Peyton fan or not, you would definitely put him in probably one of the top 20 at the very least players ever to play professional football, and that's a great compliment. But I guess this is one thing that hasn't been brought up, and given, you know, what the state of the NFL is with bounties or whatever, at least with one team, the concussion issue, and the former players that have, you know, filed the lawsuit, and I certainly see their point. I don't know how to play out in court. And I know his neck is a neck issue. But what happens if this year, and I'm certainly not rooting for this, I wouldn't root for him. What if Peyton Manning gets hit and can't walk off a football field? What would that do? And I know it's a scenario, and it's a kind of a what if. Given all the, you know, the atmosphere and to an extent the negative publicity, what if arguably one of its greatest players, and he knew the risk and the team knew the risk, I'm not going to say any of that, but obviously his neck injury was serious enough that it required for him to sit out of football for an entire season. What if on an entirely clean play where there's no dispute, he is actually left paralyzed on a football field? What would that do to the NFL today? I don't think that it would end it, but that is a distinct possibility with his injury. Certainly nobody would hope that. But if you were to put all those events together and look at it from a big picture, the NFL could be playing with fire by having Manning, under the current state, get injured to the extent that it's a real possibility that he could be paralyzed.
Yes, but Manning, as we know, he's been checked out by so many doctors. He's got
it's
the clearance.
A neck injury, Earl.
Yep.
It's a neck injury. That's not a knee.
But the doctors have cleared him, though. They've already cleared him, and they've worked him out, and he's still working out extensively to strengthen the arm, because the arm is weak, because that's all is related together. So, yes, it could happen, but he's been cleared by the doctors, and they've said that it's okay for him to resume his career. We expect that he wouldn't be resuming his career if they hadn't given him the okay.
And I agree with you from a legal standpoint, but I'm talking about the court of public opinion. If you're just an average fan or a sports fan that follows this, and again, one of the iconic names in the history of the sport under the current circumstance, and I agree, I know a doctor's cleared him. The court of public opinion is not the same as a legal court or even what the NFL would be able to get away with. If by chance this happens, and again, he can't walk off a football field, I think it could be a devastating image in the NFL, and it could bring about massive changes in the sport. I mean, again, I agree with you, doctors have signed off, but the bottom line is if people have that visual image of him on that field unable to move because of a pre-existing injury that he continued to play through, I think given the current circumstance in the NFL, it could be a major, major blow to that sport that it may not be able to recover from.
Well, it could be a major blow if something happens, sure. But they've all willing to take a chance. And more importantly, Peyton is willing to take that chance of getting hit. He knows the risk. He knows everything that he's trying. So, you know, you just have to hope for him that things work out okay because he knows what he's getting into. It's not, you know, it's no fun in games. And, like, he wants to get plain and simple, he just wants to play football again. So he's going to be out there playing because that's what he loves to do. Okay, we just lost Todd. So yes, he could get injured. I mean, but we could all get injured. Any of us can get injured doing anything, and that's just a realistic thing. So yes, you just hope he doesn't get hurt. He's taking the chance. He's willing to take the chance. And Aaron, what would you say to to Todd's thoughts there? I mean, you know, Peyton is willing. He's the one that it's his life, it's his gamble. He's willing to take the chance on that he'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's he knows what he's getting into. As I said before, it's not like you're dealing with some a rookie that is just getting into the NFL. I mean, you're dealing with Peyton Manning here. I mean, he understands. If there's one guy in the league that understands the risk that this sport has, it's Peyton Manning. I mean, and a lot of players do understand the risk that this comes with. But this, I mean, he chose this career. It's a career. This is what he chose way back when he started playing football. He knew the risk. And I understand we've had more discussions about concussions and all those kind of things, and especially with kind of the kind of injury that Peyton Manning had. I mean, that's a very serious injury. It's not like, he tore his ACL or something that, hundreds and hundreds of athletes have to deal with each year, and they can get over it pretty quick. I mean, this is his neck we're talking about, but, he understands it, and I'm agreeing with you. He's the one that chose it. If he didn't want to choose it, he wouldn't have come back.
He could have walked away.
Yeah, he could have walked away and started coaching or something, which is probably what he's going to do or something down the road, or be a broadcaster. I don't know. But he knows the risks.
Yeah, he knows the risks, and he's willing to take that chance. I mean, yes, it probably would hurt the league and everything else if he does get hurt in the game, and they have to cart him off the field. It would be very tragic. But the only thing we can do is just hopefully that nothing happens to him, that he turns out okay and ends up having the good 4 or 5 years. He still wants to play for another 4 or 5 years, and we can't take that away from him. He's welcome to give it a try. It's his life, and so he's willing to give it a try and to continue his football career, which has been a very good football career over these years so far.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who are we to say whether or not, obviously it would be a devastating blow to the NFL if he did get injured or an injury that ended his career. But, we all know that's part of it. I mean, any time a football player takes the field, there could be a life-threatening injury. I mean, that's part of the risk. I mean, even in other sports, there's an opportunity. I mean, heck, even in tennis, something could happen. You could slip on the court or something. You never know. I mean, we all have seen weird things in sports before, so he understands the risk, and obviously we don't obviously want anything to happen to him. And I would assume that, with the training nowadays and all the trainers around him and all the doctors and the way medicine has advanced, assuming that someone doesn't put a bounty on him, I think he'll be fine, and I expect him to have a great several years. Hopefully, that happens, because the NFL is definitely wants him to succeed, that's for sure.
Yes, and just like, for example, like in basketball, Greg Oden, who was a first-round pick out of Ohio State a few years ago, he couldn't continue his career. I mean, it's tragic. It's hurtful. I mean, yes, he can still walk, but he's had so many injuries to his legs, so he can't function on the court, which is tragic. But if he could come back, he'd give it one more try. I mean, that's the thing. As an athlete, if you reach that level, you want to play against the best. You want to test yourself against the best. So that's what you try to do when you reach that point in your career. You want to continue to test and show people how good you are or how good you used to be, just testing against the best. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you all for calling. And we want to invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Call us up and join us in the afternoons right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We want you to have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.